and whatever platform you are listening. Thank you and welcome. Hey, Brina, how are you? Hey, Francie, how are you? Hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. I had a pretty good weekend, no complaints. And I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. Hey, Blunt Ninja, welcome. Welcome, welcome. Get this song uploaded while we are waiting and listening. Hey Lou, welcome, welcome. How are you? How are you? It's always good to finish work, and it's always good to head home. Always. Minnesota, welcome. Welcome. All right, let's get started. I did have a good weekend, Lou. I saw Janet Jackson over the weekend at the Hollywood Bowl, and it was off the hook. It was a good, good concert. So, loved it, loved it. Okay, so, this is a topic I was going to do last Wednesday until I had to cancel the last Wednesday show, but is having a formal wedding putting too much pressure on guests? This is a topic from one of my friends. No, she's never been on the show, but she... She listens to my show on downloads, and she's always, what about this topic? What about this one? So she says, in a world of business casual, is it unrealistic to assume people either own or will buy formal wear to attend a function? Is black tie asking too much? So what do you all think? I mean, some people have black tie attire. And one thing that where men always benefit, just my personal opinion, is you have the ability to go rent a tux or rent a suit or whatever. Women have to buy it. And Blunt says black tie is fun, but a bit much. So, you know, you have that wedding that's, you know, that evening wedding that's, you know, after seven. And technically, if you want to go by the rules of Miss Manners, technically anything after 7 o'clock, actually anything after six in the evening is considered black tie. But what if I can't afford it? Or not even if I can't afford it, what if I just don't want to go out and buy something? I mean, I think it's different if you have something, you know, already to wear. But what if you don't? Are you pulling out that prom dress from 10 years ago, from 20 years years ago? I mean, what are you doing? And then on the other hand, to take it in another direction, but in the same direction, but on the same road, What about those brides that, you know, they're getting married and yes, it is their day, but they're choosing dresses that are just ridiculously expensive, or if they're not really expensive, they're expensive. You know, everyone doesn't have money to shell out to be a bridesmaid. And this is, again, where I say men, you know, yeah, you're spending money, but at least you're able to rent and you can take it back. So is it too much? Is it, you know, a formal wedding, a formal whatever, you know, your wedding, your, you know, whatever you have where people have to go out and spend money for your day, for your, I mean, what do you all think? And then Brina says, as long as you know the expectation when you accept is not too much, but if you can't afford it, you shouldn't be expected to say yes, regardless of who it is. Okay, so Brina, okay, so, hey, Shorty, welcome, welcome. So Brina, you say, as long as you know the expectation when you accept, but let's say I say, you know, Brina, you know, love for you to be in my wedding. These are my colors. These are, you know, the dresses that I would like for you all to wear. You know, you all can choose one of three. I have three different choices, whatever. But the dresses are like $300 a piece. And you say, you know, Solid, thank you, whatever, but I'm not going to be able to be in it because I can't afford it. You have some people who get little PO'd because you're telling them no. So at the same time, when you say, as long as you know the expectation when you accept, should people who are giving the event, having the event, also have the expectation that people may not be able to come because they cannot afford it? Or, you know, even if I'm not in your wedding, but it's a black tie affair, I don't have a dress to wear. You know, I don't have the right clothes. I don't, you know, even if it's a pantsuit or something, I don't have the attire to show up in that. And I may be able to afford to go out and buy something, but what if I don't want to? Because, okay, I'm going to buy this dress and I'm not going to wear it again for how long? And then it hangs in my closet. You know, so let's see. Blunt says, I want my guests to be dressed nicely but comfortable. Okay. So let's see, and then Brina says, yikes, yeah, you know, you just have to know what you're getting into. It would be nice for the person hosting the event to disclose that up front. But are you already expected, if you're asked to be in a wedding, are you already, should that expectation already be there? Like, okay, she's asking me to be in her wedding, so I know it's going to cost, you know, out of my pocket by the time everything's said and done, at least $500 or more, depending upon who the person is and depending upon, you know, what. So what should the bride disclose up front? I mean, if her fiance just asked her, you know, the night before, 2 days ago, you know, to get married, and she's all excited. She's like, oh, you know, we're about to get married. Yeah, we're going to have a, you know, October wedding, June wedding, whatever. And it's a couple of months down the road, whatever. So, and she says, oh, I would love for you to be in my wedding, but she hasn't planned anything, but she has said, I'd love for you to be in my wedding. So no plans have been made, but you know, she's asking, you know, it's going to cost you. Do you say right then and there, no, I won't be able to afford it? Hey, crazy. Welcome. Let's see, it would be nice for the, let's see, I said that, and Blunt says, I've been married before and had a large wedding. I only expected my guests to wear what they felt comfortable in. Some came in evening dresses, one person in shorts. I was like, whatever, as long as they enjoy themselves. Okay, so for your large wedding, though, Blunt, did you have the bridesmaids, I mean, were the dresses expensive? Was there anybody who said they couldn't afford it? GP, hey, welcome. Anybody who said they couldn't afford it or... And I think it's also good that you're saying, you know, just to wear what you like, you know, have fun, you know, don't tear up the place, whatever. And I think that's great. But you do have those people who are like black tie. Okay, so you pick the color. Okay, all right, all right, all right. That was nice. That was nice. Okay, all right. But you do have those bridezillas, and not even necessarily the bridezillas. You have the bridezilla, the mamazillas, you know, who want everything just so. Let's see. Did I get everybody? You all are saying hi to each other. Okay. So, is it putting pressure on people? Is it putting pressure on people to ask them to dress up? You all are not like blunt. You know, you have people who are like, I want you to dress up. Is that putting pressure on people? And do I have the right to be upset because you don't come because you didn't want to buy an After Five outfit? You know, and again, I say guys have it easy because you guys can rent, but everybody can't afford to rent stuff. Maybe you can't rent that tuxedo. You know, so is there a line that should be drawn if you don't want to comply with what the host wants? And do I... or you or whomever as the host have the right to get upset? Interview. Divine, welcome. You know, do you have the right to get upset because I said no? See, sometimes you can sell back bridesmaid stuff, but not at the same price you bought it. True. So, Brina, are you saying that you should just go ahead and just take the hit and just do it? Even if you maybe can't afford or you don't want the dress? So you try to sell it back or? No, don't break the bank. I mean, guys, you know, hey, Daddy Hawk, welcome. You know, hopefully the person that's inviting you understand your financial situation. And then GP says, just don't get married. Oh, boy. You know, but Brina, again, brides have a habit, not all of them, but some of them have a habit of getting wrapped up into it's your day. I mean, I'm sorry, it's their day, so therefore I should be able to do, have whatever I want. I won't entertain a bridezilla. They can kick rocks. Brina, I'm right there with you. You know, when I was 22, I was asked to be in the wedding of one of my classmates from high school. It was me and one other girl from high school. And we said we would be in the wedding. And we knew going into this wedding that her mother was a bit much. Her mother was a bit much. We were like, you know, this is her wedding, blah, 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 blah. So her color was yellow. And this was back in the day, and the dress that she picked out was hideous. And when I look at myself now in pictures, you know, going back then, I'm just shaking my head like, you actually wore that dress? But, you know, it wasn't so much the dress as the drama around the dress and what the bridesmaids were, quote unquote, required to wear. So the dresses, now again, I'm 22 years old. Back then, the dresses were like $125 or so. So my girlfriend and I, same classmate, who was also asked to be in the wedding, we went to see if we can find those dresses someplace else. So we found out that those dresses were actually the vendor, whatever, also supplied those dresses to, here's a store from the past, Montgomery Ward, Montgomery Ward and JCPenney. We went to JCPenney to see if they had the dress. The dresses had been marked down so much, they were $19.99. So $125 if I ordered through where the bride wanted us to order, or the exact same dress, and I mean the exact same dress, for $19.99. My girlfriend got her size, I got my size, we got the dresses, and we went home. So the other, she had six bridesmaids. So the other four ladies, they ordered where the bride wanted her to order from, and they were getting their alterations and stuff. And we're like, nope, just put it on, wear it, whatever. And she got really upset. She got really upset. And her mother said, those dresses better be the same. And I want to see them and blah, 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 blah. So we brought the dresses over and she couldn't say anything because they were literally the exact same dressing. And the other girls were a little pissed off because they're like, we spent over $100 on this dress. And only reason why we can't take it back is because they had it altered. So not only did we wear a dress that we didn't order from where she wanted to order from, when it came to the shoes, she wanted us to wear white shoes. I'm like, I'm not wearing white shoes, you know, whatever. And when we were putting on shoes, it was like, you can literally, even when we're walking, you cannot see our feet. So the two of us wore some shoes that we had. I mean, they match. They just weren't white. So do you think that we were wrong to do that? I mean, do you, and do you think that, you know, we were wrong to get the dress from someplace else? Jimmy says, make the wedding fun and cheap like in Vegas or Atlantic City. Let's see. My bridesmaid's dress was $400 for alterations and still needed shoes, a purse, and all the other cute stuff. And I think that was a brilliant idea. Nope. Jordy's like, nope. And luckily your aunt paid for most of it. I mean, Brina, I'm telling you, I mean, and then you said $400 before the alterations. Before the alterations. You know, so by the time you finish getting all the rest of the stuff, shoes, purse, all that stuff, you're six, that's $600. I mean, that's a car note. That's you know, rent. That's or, you know, partial rent. You know, that's you know, a couple of utility bills. So I said I would never be in another wedding. I was never ever going to be in another wedding. And my best friend at the time, she was laughing through the whole thing. She thought it was funny. But then right before I moved to California, my best friend said that she was going to get married. And she asked me to be in her wedding. I was like, oh, I don't want to be in this wedding. Hey, chill, welcome. So, you know, I said I would be in the wedding, whatever. And I said, you know, can you keep the cost down? You know, I'm about to make this major move, which was costing me a lot of money to move cross country, you know, lock, stock, and barrel and everything. And again, I got this dress that literally is balled up in my garage in a bag. Not cute at all. And what she did was, and I'm just saying this because what Brina says, now you need the shoes and purse and all the other cute stuff. What she did was, you know how when the wedding's over, whatever, or at the, the bridal dinner or whatever they had like the night before, the groom gives his groomsman, whatever you call him, you know, something as a thank you. And the bride gives the bridesmaid something as a thank you. Our thank you was, and I just thought this was so incredibly tacky. Our thank you was these long gloves, like from the 50s, that, you know, those long gloves that come up to your elbow, these earrings that were cheap, and this belt thingy, whatever, that she wanted us to wear around our dress. Everything was for the dress. It was nothing that was personal for us to say, you know, thank you for being in this wedding. It was all for the dress. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So, I mean, it's good fabric. You have a new dress made, Brina. I kid you not. The fabric was like, it was drapery fabric. And my sister-in-law, because I was talking about this wedding, and my sister-in-law was saying, oh, come on, that dress could not have been that bad. I dug that dress out for her, and she just started laughing. And she goes, this was the dress? I said, no, I would not have gotten a dress made out of that. So I'm handing out mixtapes and bottles at my wedding. So, I mean, guys, I mean, what do you think? I mean, as a bride, would that have been an appropriate thank you gift? Because I don't think that it was. And yet, you know, I spent a lot of money on this wedding. Paul said, my wedding was laid back and chill. I think my wife spent $250 on her dress. And I think my text cost the most. Okay. Brina says, no. Blunt says, I better be invited. You know, I'm just, you know, I don't know. You know, so again, I come back to the question, is a formal wedding putting too much pressure on guests, or anything that you have where you're expecting people to spend money? Is it too much? Especially, you know, in a world of business casual, is it unrealistic? You know, what do you do? Let's see. Okay, you all are still talking to each other there. So, guys, those are my questions for today. And Brina says they might have to get their feelings hurt, because people can't go into debt for them. But unfortunately, Brina, you have some people that do. You have that friend from high school, or that friend from college, or that, you know, friend that you've known forever since you were little, or whatever, or one that you just met. And people will go into debt, you know, because they don't want to rock the boat. You know, they don't want to, you know, they don't want to be the one who, well, you know, well, Brina wasn't in my wedding, or Sally wasn't in my wedding because they said they couldn't afford it. Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, honestly, you know, and then on top of that, you're expected to bring a gift. So my next question is, if you're in the wedding for whether you're bridesmaids or a groomsman, should you be obligated to give a gift? Should that be a requirement? Are you obligated to provide a gift? And GB says, another factor is the day of the wedding. Getting married on a weekday is cheaper. It is. It is. You know, most venues charge the most money for Saturday and Sunday. You know, but then you run into the thing of, well, how many people are actually going to be able to come out on a weekday, if people have to work, if their kids are going to school, you know, how many people are actually going to be able to do that? Hey, Shelby, welcome. You know, so let's see. I didn't expect gifts from anyone, not even my guests. Wow, Blunt. Brina says, do people have to pay for their flight for a destination wedding? Okay, so destination weddings. Let me ask this, Brina. If you're flying, if the Bri is getting married in the same city that she lives in, but you're out of state. Should you have to pay for your flight back to that wedding that you're going to be in? And GB says this year went to a Friday and Monday wedding. Okay, so Brina says, I don't know how that works. I guess so though. And again, Brina, I go back to my best friend's wedding. You know, so by that time, I had moved out to California. She got married in December. She had her bridal shower thing in November. And I told her I would not be able to come because I could not afford to do two trips. You know, and her mom got mad. Her mom got mad. She says, well, you're supposed to be her best friend. You know, you should find a way, you know, whatever. And I'm like, I can't do both. I cannot do both. Thankfully, she got married close enough to Christmas where I just stayed home and spent Christmas with my family and then came and then, you know, went back home. But everyone that was in her wedding, with the exception of her sister, who was her maid of honor, was from out of state. So, you know, with the dress and all this other stuff, I'm already in a bad mood. And then your mother's going to get mad at me because I'm not coming to your bridal shower. So, and because I think, you know, I mean, is that considered a destination wedding? I mean, because we have to fly back to the destination. But if you look at it for a regular destination wedding, I had a destination wedding. We invited a total of 12 people. It was a small wedding. And we had a destination wedding and we paid for it. We paid for the flights. We paid for the hotel. The only thing that people had to pay for was their spending money. And if they chose to stay 2 days after the wedding, they had to pay their own expenses. Meaning they had to pick up the hotel, whatever. So we gave them an additional 2 days to hang out and do whatever. But I believe that you should pay for it. If you're asking people to get on a plane and fly somewhere, I think you should pay for it. Okay, and Shelby says, I expect to pay for our out-of-town guests. Okay, hey, Juju. See, Blunt says, if I had a destination wedding, I would understand if people couldn't come. It's a lot to ask unless you are paying. Shelby says, but we are not paying for the bridesmaids' dresses. And, you know, since I was the bridesmaids in two weddings that I wish I had not been in, I'm sorry. I think that unless you, like Blunt did, say, this is the color and you can wear whatever you want, I think a bride should pay for those dresses because they're expensive. And there is not usually something that you would have to, that you would go out and buy. You know, you're kind of stuck with what the bride wants. And more than likely, depending upon the style of the dress, you're not going to wear that dress again. So I believe that the bride, and I have always felt like this, the bride should pay for the dress. And Blunt, like you, I mean, I had a very small wedding, but like you, I chose my color, which was purple. And my maid of honor, I didn't have bridesmaids or anything. I had a maid of honor, you know, buy the dress that you want. You know, whatever. Just don't come looking crazy or anything, whatever. Buy the dress that you want. And if you need help with the dress, let me know, whatever. But she bought the dress that she wanted. And she said she had her eye on this dress. And I have seen her in that dress many, 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 many times. So she chose a dress that was functional. And brides tend not to choose dresses that are functional. They choose these frilly dresses with the off the shoulder, or whatever. It's like, where are you going to wear that again? Where are you going to wear it? You going to wear it to church? You going to wear it to work? Where are you going to wear that dress again? Oh, that's nice. Okay, Brina says, I had a coworker that streamed her destination for us at the reception. Let's see, we pick color, they pick style. Let's see, small, intimate, pretty, love the idea. Gigi says, I was a bridesmaid in a destination wedding. The best part of the story, the groom didn't show up. She probably couldn't afford to get on the plane. Jimmy says, y'all are making one and getting married. Time to get on the ER. So you say you want to get married, GP? You're always the one who say you don't want to get married. He was already married. You know, and I'm going to plan this whole thing. And I'm making plans that we're doing this destination wedding. I don't care if I'm going to the church down the street. I'm sitting here planning this stuff, and you're already married? Oh, hell no. That right there is, as Brina says, messy. I mean, that's just like, seriously. Dude needed to get all kinds of slaps up in there. But people will do that. People will do that. So, again, our weddings do weddings put too much pressure on guests. And I keep saying wedding because, I mean, that's the only thing that for right now that I can think of where you're actually buying stuff, whatever. But any black tie affair, I mean, what if your job had a black tie affair and they were like, okay, you have to wear this formal dress and you have to wear tuxedos and stuff, and you can't afford it. I mean, do I have the right to tell my boss, I'm not coming? Well, it's a requirement. You going to buy my dress? You going to pay for this? Well, okay, but we'll take it out of your pay. No. Are you going to pay for it? So, I just had this thing that when you expect people to dress a certain way, be ready to shell out some of the money. You know, be ready to accommodate. And again, there are people, I mean, I've known people, you guys have probably known people who will go into debt for someone's affair because they don't want to say anything, you know, and, or they don't want to piss the person off. It's like, I'm sorry, I may be this, whatever, but I said, never again would I be in another wedding. And since those two weddings I was in, I was asked two more times. I politely declined. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to. And I wasn't, because I learned my lesson the first time. Should have learned my lesson the second time, even though it was my best friend. Crucible, welcome. Let's see. Was he present during the planning, Juju? Right. Was he present during the planning? Stills, welcome. Was he present during the planning? We are putting a cap on Emily's wedding at $30,000. The groom never asked her father for her hand in marriage. Her father was the only one that didn't get ready for the wedding. He knew the groom was a suspect. Well, you know, the whole thing with the, now my husband did go to my father, you know, whatever. But everyone doesn't necessarily do that now. So I wouldn't necessarily say that was a mark against them. But I'm just saying, you're going to let me go through this whole planning and what have you, literally spend money, order this, do this, do this, get on a plane, and you don't show up, you're married? Seriously? I mean, that's just crazy. Now I have to get fair use to propose. I want to get married again. Oh, you said he was, and I had to pay for my own dress, which was made by a dressmaker. Let's see. And Shelby says that your daughter's fiance did come and ask. And Brina says it's a special kind of effed up to do all that planning. Yep. I got married in Hawaii, GP. I got married on the island of Kauai. Let's see. Okay, I'm caught up in the... I don't know. You know, again, when you ask people to get on a plane, when you ask people to, you know, buy stuff, whatever, I'm always that you should be conscious of what you're asking people to buy, what you're asking them to do. You're like I said, we had a destination wedding. We invited 12 people, including my husband and I. We were 14, but we paid for the flights. We paid for the hotel. We said, if you stay 2 days after the event, you're on your own. And some people did. They ended up staying. My in-laws, they ended up staying a week and a half longer, you know, whatever. And they paid for it, and they understood, you know. But at the same time, the ones that went home, we had, like I said, we had covered that. I think, and again, you know, if you're asking people to spend money, make sure that they can wear something again. Make sure that they can, when you give a thank you gift, that is something that they can use. You know, I don't know. Is it cheaper if you get packages for certain things or go as a group to buy? I don't know. I mean, I guess if everybody was going to this one dress shop or whatever, going to this one tuxedo shop and say, you know, there's seven guys here and we all need tuxedos. Can you give us a break on the rental rate? You know, if I owned the store, I mean, I would, you know, so. Let's see. Yeah. So, I mean, guys, you know, I just. I just, you know. I think when people, and again, I know it's your day for the bride and for the groom. I know it's your day, but you're also asking people to do a lot for you. And another thing, when you have those weddings, start on time. Start on time. Let's see, still says, as a person who worked in a bridal shop for almost 5 years, bridesmaids usually don't use their dresses again. And stills, that is what I am saying. I don't care, you know, again, if you're gonna, like Blunt said, you know, you chose the color and then they can wear whatever they want, whatever. But even if you choose the style, is this something that I'm going to be able to wear again? Because if it's not, I truly don't want to be in your wedding, because I find that, I mean, I understand that, you know, you're supposed to be my friend and blah, 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 blah. But it's also my money. It's also, you know, it's like, okay, now I got to spend this much on this and, you know, spend this much on this. And, you know, and they don't. Most bridesmaids don't use their dresses again because they can't. You know, so, I mean, like I said, we're going to wear it. Unless you, you're going to wear it to another, I mean, unless you, what, wear it to another wedding? And like Brina says, okay, well, you can get it made into another dress. That's still going to cost me money to get it made into another dress. So, Shelby says, where Em looked at dresses, they told her that if we got the tuxes there, they would give a 20% discount on the tuxes. So, Shelby, were those rental tuxes or were those you have to buy the tux? Rena says, true, still have mine just hanging in my closet with nope. This is what I'm saying. Both of those dresses are balled up. And when I say balled up, they're stuffed in a bag in the garage. I do want to get an altar into a cuter dress. I do want to get it altered into a cuter dress. Okay. Still says, I had a bride that paid for little black dresses for the bridesmaids and they didn't wear them again. Now, a basic black dress, if it's short, you could probably wear that again. You could probably dress it up or dress it down. You could, depending upon how short it is and what have you, you could possibly wear that to work, the blazer on, and wear it to work. But when you're into this frilly stuff and, you know, the whole different colors and all this other stuff that brides have, no. Okay, Shelby says rental. And see, that's why I say, guys, y'all get off easy. Y'all get off easy where you all are able to rent. You all are able to rent the tuxes. You know, but still, it's an expense. You know, so that's why I'm saying, if I'm doing you a favor by being in your wedding, groom or bridesmaids, the groom and bride better give a decent thank you gift that's personal, you know, to each person, not to your dress or to your tux or to the wedding that's going to compliment. No, you give a decent thank you gift. So, but that's just me. And Nun says, Brina, you should alter it. One of these days. And Nun boxes to the bridesmaids to ask them. I don't know what that means. I don't understand that. Boxes to the bridesmaids to ask them. Not sure what you mean there, Shelby. So, yeah. So, guys, that is all I got for today. That's all I got. All I got. You guys were quiet. No one wanted to come up on the panel, but that's cool. I know it's the middle of the day, y'all working. Here comes Crucible. Hey, Crucible.
Hey, Solid. I have a question, and it's more of a philosophical question. I'm not trying to take a shot at anybody, but it could be my imagination. I have been to a lot of weddings in my life. I have to say I'm not a huge fan of the event for lots of different reasons, but I don't feel like I'm necessarily in the minority on that. I know men maybe have a little different attitude towards what women do. But there seems to be people who don't like the whole ritual, the way, like you said, it doesn't start on time. The women have to buy their dresses. The men don't have to. It seems to be, to me at least, from the outside looking in, that the wedding industry is a little bit almost anachronistic in terms of it never changes. We're in 2023 now, and I would think that over that long period of time and so many weddings and so much expense and so many people grumbling about the proceedings and whatnot, How come nobody, and women are a powerful force in this country today, how come they don't stand up and say, wait a minute, we're getting hosed on this wedding thing left and right, and we need to kind of set the thing back on a more of an even keel? It doesn't seem like that's an outcry where people don't seem happy with the whole way wings come down these days, yet 1,000 years later, nothing has changed. I'm curious as to why you think that might be.
I don't know. I don't know, because I hear a lot of grumblings. I mean, over the years, I have heard a lot of grumblings about weddings, and a lot of the grumbling usually came from the bride side of the family, or on the bride side, you know, whatever, because the expense is with the bridesmaids. I mean, it is an expense, you know, so I don't know why, you know, you can't rent. I think there are a few places where you know, girls can go and rent, you know, a bridesmaid's dress or something. But at the same time, you still have that bride. I want this. I want that. And I personally think, and I'm going to probably piss people off, I think brides are selfish. I think
that's the word I was going to use.
You know, I think a lot of brides are selfish. And I think, again, that when you go and you're asking someone to be in your wedding, you're asking them to give up not only just the day of your wedding, but to give up all the months preparing, having to listen to all this stuff, you know, about what you want. And, you know, I'm going to have my bridal shower here and bridal shower here. I mean, I think, I don't know. But the industry definitely takes advantage of it, but I don't know. That's the only thing. I mean, I truly don't know.
No, but I agree with you. I'm sorry, Steels. I'll let you talk a second here. I agree with you on the selfish part, but I think what we've kind of been conditioned to do is it's one day, it's a special day. Two people are uniting in matrimony. They're going to spend their lives together, hopefully, build a family and all that thing. So I understand in the moment, so we kind of step aside and say, okay, let's let them have their day. But there's a reason the term bridezilla exists. And some of them are better than others, but I'm okay with this is your special day. But sometimes the selfishness gets a little bit to the point where you just kind of want to go, are we done here yet? Because I've heard of brides having multiple showers, multiple dinners. I mean, at some point, it's not a moon landing, okay? Somebody got married last week and someone else is getting married tomorrow. So let's get a little bit of a perspective on this thing. But yeah, I agree with you. I think there's a level of selfishness that people just kind of swallow hard and go, okay, it's one day.
Stilts, welcome.
All right, what's up? First of all, I was in the bridal business for like, I want to say more than 5 years, but I'm going to say 5 years minimum. Okay. Dealt with all the stuff. What I had planned to do. Okay. And I had this plan for years and years and years and years. I was going to open a bridal rental place. Okay. When I looked into it, there's only like maybe one or two in the world, not even in the East Coast, but in the world, there's only one or two companies that rent bridal dresses because the people that make bridal dresses, okay, frown upon it because they feel like they are going to lose all the money because therefore they don't have, each company won't have to have 20 or 30 dresses out there for you to pick from. They only have to have one or two dresses in the rental place. Okay.
I would think that if you're renting, that you would probably have like 20, 30, 40 dresses to choose from.
No, because it's like the same thing with suits. When guys go to rent suits, I mean, there's a book, but usually they have like two or three that's in the store, and then everything else has to be brought in or whatever. Okay. You know, it's always like that. So that's what they, you know, and as I said, that literally was what I was going to do. That's what I got my business degree and everything. That was my idea. From working it, I was like, shit, I said, I can make money, you know, renting dresses. And like I said, I worked for Jessica McClintock, who's a big bridal play, you know, mm-hmm. thing. I worked mm-hmm. for them. I wanted, like I said, minimum 5 years. And I've dealt with brides, and that was the number one thing. Oh, I wish I could rent. I wish I could rent. I wish I could rent. And I looked into it. I even looked to buy a place so I could use it. And all it says is there's like I said, there's a few places in the world that do it. And they say that most of it, what it is that the companies that make the dresses frown upon it because they don't want you to be having, because remember, I could rent the same dress to like 5 or 6 different women. So if I have, if I'm only buying that one dress and that one dress is being used by 5 or 6 different women, I, you know, I'm washing it between, clean, dry cleaning them between, but hey, the next bride wants the same dress. Oh, the next bride wants the same dress. All the companies are losing out on money. Because they're not, they don't have all the different sizes, all the different dresses. They're like that.
Well, still, I mean, but still, what it always comes down to at the end is money.
It always comes
down to money. So,
and I know that, but I'm just saying this is the reasoning. You know, I'm just saying this is the main reason because, like I said, I looked into all that. Okay. Second of all, my feeling, okay, dealing with this is, women. Or I'm going to say women, but, you know, everything, whatever nowadays. But women are, from a little girl, are taught that when it's their wedding day, they have to have this big wedding or whatever. You know, it's in movies. It's in, you know, family tradition and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, so it's that's a condition. You know, that is a condition that everyone is taught, you know, women, mostly women are taught that they're supposed to have these big weddings. Me personally, I wanted a big wedding, you know, because my mom was always like, oh, I can't wait for you to get married. And, I get to do my dance with you and this and that and da da da. And I always grew up thinking, hey, I want a big wedding. When me and my wife got married, we had a pretty big wedding. And to this day, it's going to be 20 years next year. People still be like, oh my God, I loved your wedding. I remember your wedding, you're this and that. And they tell us stuff about the wedding. They still talk about it. You know, it's just, and, you know, my wife wasn't a bridezilla. I picked out pretty much all the bridesmaid dresses. I picked out pretty much her wedding dress. I mean, I told her these are the designs, da da da, and she wound up going to the store and pick it up herself, you know, but I pretty much did all the work. You know, which relieved all the stress from the bride, and she didn't become the bridezilla. And and a lot of times, like me dealing with it, that's why I said I used to do that with the brides all the time. And you know, I used to calm them down, be like, "All right, listen, give them options, do this, do that." And I was able to do that. I made very good money doing this.
Okay.
And you know, and it was just calming the brides down and letting them know, you know, it is your day. But these people are going to be in your wedding. So, you know, you have to kind of compromise as well. But like I said, also, I had the lady, she bought everybody little black dresses, you know, satin dresses that they could use over and over again. And literally every bridesmaid said they didn't use it afterwards. I talked to them before, and I've kept in touch with a lot of my brides and stuff like that. They don't use it. Most of the time, they do not use their bridesmaid dresses. My wife still has 2 bridesmaid dresses in the closet. Never going to use them again.
Okay.
You know.
All right. So still, let me just catch you off for a moment because Chill has been waiting. So yeah. I want to give everybody a chance. Chill, welcome.
Hey, what up?
Hey, Chill. Thanks for being patient.
Oh man, still what's good, man. Crucible.
What's up, Chill?
In the beginning, you were talking about because I was here in the beginning when you first opened it up, and you was talking about
the black tie.
No, before that, I think. Or after that, maybe a little bit.
I was just talking about black tie and then weddings.
I'm sorry, y'all. I had it right on the tip of my tongue. Then somebody distracted me. My boo thing over here distracted me. But at any rate, I think that's an awesome idea, Steals, what you were saying. And I don't know why you ain't do it, but you said something about some bridal companies don't want you to do it. But that'd be an awesome idea. And I think weddings, spending that much money on weddings in general, it's just ridiculous. I don't know. That's just
my well, you know, but you know, but the whole thing, you know, again, it's like I've gotten to the point where I'm just going to change it from weddings to a moment to baby showers. You know, you have people who have baby showers. They have multiple ones. They invite the same people sometimes to their multiple showers. It's like, you invite me to one, you're going to get one gift. I'm not giving you a gift at every single shower. So when they have that second child and they want to have a baby shower, or that third child and they want to have a baby shower, do you have to, I mean, it's like, can, I mean,
it's a different child.
Are we getting gifts? Are we getting, I know, I understand that. I understand that. But again, things get expensive. So, you know, it's like, you know, you bought that stroller for child number one. Child number two, you know, you go look at the list of the stuff that they want. They want a stroller. It's like, well, what happened to the stroller that you got two years ago?
Well, that, honestly, just to let you know, because strollers and car seats and all that stuff, they have expiration dates.
Yes, yes. So, but not in a two, and I know that car seats, especially, I know they change drastically over the years because, you know, this safety thing, whatever. But for the most part, still, people are still putting their kids in those strollers that you see at Disneyland where there's no support in the back. And
yeah, I have those, yeah.
You know, so but I'm just saying, I mean, at what point do you not, I mean, but y'all don't know what I'm trying to say.
But you don't. That's the problem, is that you don't, because it's a different child. Now, if it was, you know, like you said, like if they're doing multiple for the same kid, it's no, sorry, that's only one gift. That's all you're getting. But if it's different kids, it's a different thing. I mean, I know some people have it back-to-back kids, you know, especially nowadays. A lot of these women, they want 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sorry, they want you know, their kids back to back, so they're all close in age, and you know, get them done, or they start late, you know, in life, and they, you know, they want the kids like that. So, you know, I get it, but if you're only, you know, if it's different kids, I understand it. If it's the same kid, no, you're only gonna get one gift.
Okay, so then let me throw this out here to everyone. You have that friend. Or maybe you don't, you heard of a friend who has been divorced 2, 3, 4 times, or I'm sorry, they've been married 2, 3, 4 times. Do you keep getting a marriage? I mean, you keep giving them a gift. Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay. All right.
My sister has been married now twice, engaged 3 times. She got 3 engagement gifts and, well, only 1 marriage gift, because I only went to the one wedding. But if I would have gone to the second wedding, I would have given her a second gift for the wedding too. Okay. But yeah, but that's, I mean, it's, how can I put it? It's.
No, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I'm just, you know, throwing in what Crazy likes to call those variables.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I'm just throwing that in. So, Crucible, I mean, do you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I just typed in the chat. You know, that's a tough one, because you don't want to feel like you're being judgmental or penalizing your friend because the first or second marriage, or the third one, didn't work out. So you don't want to be that person. So you want to celebrate whatever's going on that moment for them, you know, in their lives, because you're supposed to be their friend, right? But I would probably go the second marriage with a gift. If they're going down for the third time, going down the aisle, I mean, that's probably a little bit too much in my world. I'm not saying you shouldn't get married a third time, but it should be extremely low key. You should probably go out of your way to emphasize, please no gifts, that kind of thing. And if you go about it that way, it may actually turn out in your favor. If you take that approach, people may say, well, if they're being very magnanimous about this, I'm going to give them a gift anyway because they're being cool about it. So if they handle that third or fourth marriage the right way, in my view, the right way, I would probably, you know, break my rule and give them a gift. But generally speaking, I'll give them two marriages and then I go to the third marriage, but I'm probably not bringing a gift.
All right, chill. You want to weigh in on that?
No, I you can skip me.
Okay. All right. Okay. So my last question is, I'm up to my hour. Y'all know I'm trying to stick to an hour here. All right. So twins, triplets, quadruplets. Okay. Well, I'll just stick with twins. You're invited to a birthday party and they're twins, one gift or two. You invite those same twins to your kid's birthday party. Do you expect two gifts? Stills?
Okay. So there's another thing. My daughter has 1, 2, 3 sets of friends that are twins. The one we know for a fact that they always just bring one gift. The others, they all bring a gift each. But, you know, we understand. It depends on the family, depends on their financials.
Let's take the financials out of it. Let's say they can afford to bring a gift from both of those twins. Do you expect two gifts?
No, but that's what I'm saying. So the people that I know, they're the ones that only bring the one gift, they are very financially stable.
No, you know what? I am sorry, because when they leave that party, that birthday party, they're going to walk out with two goodie bags. Mm-hmm. They're going to walk out with two pieces of cake.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to walk.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, seriously. So,
oh, yeah.
So, and then oh, when yeah. you, and when you come to, them. But, and when you go to their birthday party, they're going to expect to have a gift for child number one and child number mm-hmm. two. You know, so, you know, and that don't step here and me. Say the whole, well, this is from the family. No, it's two of y'all. No.
Trust me, and I agree with you on that. But
No. Two and two.
We have come to, like, they literally known each other since pre-K 3. And
I would have been saying I'm sorry, especially if I knew that I knew for a fact it was not a financial thing. I go to the next party with one gift and say, hi, this is for you know for the two of you.
I've tried to uninvite them and it doesn't work.
and Crazy says petty. Yeah, Crazy. Yeah. Like I said, and you have those same folks that keep coming around and they keep coming and they invite you and they keep wanting those two gifts and they only showing up with one. Yeah, it may be petty, mm-hmm. but so call me petty when it comes to that. Yeah, I am petty. So Chill, you want to weigh in on that one? Okay, I will go to Crucible.
Yeah, I think you have to go with two gifts there. It is just one event, but you're dealing with two individuals and they're both different people. So I think that's really kind of cheesing out. And again, if you take the financials out of it and you can't afford to do it, I think it's just a right way to do it. I agree with Crazy. It's petty not to do it. You hide behind the fact that it's just one event. But there are two people celebrating that day, so you got to go with two gifts.
No, and I'm saying, but on the flip side, do those two twins still bring your one child two gifts?
No, I would think not.
Oh, see, why? Why?
Well, I guess if I'm understanding the question right, so you're saying if two twins come to a wedding?
No, I'm not talking about a wedding. I'm saying two twins come to a birthday party. your child is having a birthday party. Both of your twins were invited. Should those twins have to bring two gifts? On the other side, if your child went to the birthday party of the twins, are you expected to bring two gifts? A gift for one? Yes, that's what I'm saying. So either way, it's two for one.
Okay. Yeah, I would say for the first one, that these twins, and they should be, and I think sometimes twins, they play games with this stuff, and their parents do a little bit too, depending on the situation. Twins want to be treated, generally speaking, as individuals, right? But sometimes they prefer to be treated as an entity when it suits their purposes. So now that you've clarified the question, if two twins are coming to a birthday party, they both should be bringing a gift because they both have a relationship with that child who's having the birthday, correct?
Yes, and again, I said they're both leaving with two goodie bags.
Yeah, exactly. So I think twins become an entity when it suits their purposes, but they want to be individuals when that situation arises. So the other part of the question, as far as now, if a child is going to a birthday party with twins, you have to give gifts to both people, right?
Right. I would expect to. Okay. Ellie, welcome. Formal welcome to D, Bro, and Power Girl. And Stilts, I don't think I formally welcomed you until you came on the panel, but welcome. So, I mean, you know, guys, I mean, and I know that it, Damien, hey, welcome. You know, I know that it can get petty and silly and, you know, whatever, but these are things that actually come up in real life. You know, these are situations. I have seen people argue, you know, at birthday parties, you know, over the type of gifts and crazy. You said something about, you know, the gift, you know, from the family. It's like, okay, again, taking the financials out of it. I'm not saying, let's say that this person in, or family is not having a hard time with finances and stuff. But if I'm giving gifts to all of your family members, I don't want the family gift. You know, I mean, seriously. So it's like, at that point, I'm just going to stay home.
So then what you can do is, okay, if they only come with one gift, and if you want to be petty, you can go and be like, hey, I bought you a game of Battleship. That's for two people. You know? I'll buy you, you know, I bought both of you the game of Monopoly, you know? There you go. You know, you can always do that. You know, you buy board games. Hey, there you go. Both of you can play at the same time.
Very true, Stills. Very true. Blunt says, I don't feel we should expect gifts if given, graciously accept, but never expect it because times are tough. And Blunt, I understand that. But again, that's why I said I was taking the financials out of it. Take the financials out. See, Crazy just laughing at everybody. Multiple player little fuckers.
Buy them a set of dominoes, a pack of cards. There you go.
Be the last party you get invited to.
That's four people. You buy dominoes? Hey, that's four people that can play. That's the whole family game right there.
Oh, okay. Now, actually, now, see, since y'all said this, I have one. This is my one last question. This has to do with this has to do with food. Okay, so you have that one person that when you have a party or whatever, have people over your house, that if you have buffet style where people go and get their own food, that one person who wants to run up there first and like pile up their plate, and it's like, well, did you leave some for someone else? So is it rude to like tell a greedy person who is always at every party that they're always a greedy one, no matter if they're at your house, somebody else's house, whatever, that one person, and they come to your house, do you say, you know what, I'll fix your plate or whatever, or make them go last or whatever? Like, you know, no, you cannot sit up here and take, you know, 12, you know, pieces of chicken.
First come, first serve. What the hell y'all talking about here?
Oh my goodness.
It's first come, first serve.
Still, there's no consideration for the other people who, excuse me, but I would like to eat too.
Listen, it's not my fault the host didn't coming up with enough food.
Wait, no, it's the fact that a guest is too damn greedy.
No, no. Listen, as a host, you should have enough food that everybody can go up there two or three times. Okay? Minimum. Minimum two or three times.
Tracy says, I'm taking all their plate on scoop for me. I mean, no, see, okay. Let me read this before I say what I'm going to say. Plus says, my ex-manager used to keep gifts of different prices in his trunk, and depending upon what he received as a gift, he would go to his car and pick up a gift of a similar value. That's funny. And that was his girlfriend. Okay, and Crazy is telling Stills to stop. And then Breen says, sometimes I'm that greedy person. See, you all are saying hi to each other. Okay, so I'm Stills. See, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but damn. Can you please?
As the greedy fat ass. Listen, as the greedy fat ass on this panel, okay, I am telling you right now. I'm the first one up there. What? My plate is jam-packed. Matter of fact, I usually leave with two plates jam-packed.
And I'm the person, following you going, take those 12 pieces of chicken.
Nope.
Take those quesadillas. Take that shit off your plate.
Nope. I want everything. I want everything.
Well, Stills, remind me that if you ever get invited to my house, you're going to get invited after all the food.
I was about to say, you better hope I'm the last person up there. What?
Oh, Lord.
Listen, I've been to weddings that it's all buffet. What? As soon as they go, food's done, I'm running up. And my wife's like, no, take it easy. Nope. I said, because there's somebody else that's probably more greedy than I am. That's going to end up. No.
Oh, Lord. Breen says, yep, what you got up here? And Crazy's like, be like, damn, bro. And I'm taking the plate. Oh, Lord. You're going to have to give him a different. You know, Breen, I'm going to give him a different day. And he's going to come ring the doorbell. And he's going to be like, oh, no. Sorry.
You trying to grab my plate, I'm biting your hand.
And Crucible's like, aluminum lined sports coats. I mean,
that's right.
Crucible, you want to jump in here? See, y'all got me laughing now. Crucible.
Yeah, that's a very surreptitious way of not looking like you're gorging yourself there. You take a little now and save a little bit for later. You know, just line your sport coat with aluminum foil and just walk out. And hopefully there's no metal detectors and you're home free.
Okay, so would you all agree that there are some people who are only there for the food?
Of course.
Like me. I'm always only there. Food.
So you're not my there wife, for my pleasing personality.
Listen, my wife will tell you I am so antisocial when we go to things. I only speak to the person I know, and that's it. Usually, like we go to these like family things, and I speak to whoever I know from the family. That's it. Everybody else, I don't know you. Oh, I ain't talking to you. Get out of my way. Oh, I'm eating my food. I'm here for my food. I don't know your cousins, friends, sister, brother. Not here for all that. I'm not here to make more friends. I got my friends.
Yeah, you got the food too. Chill, you want to say something?
That's the only reason I'm there is for the food. But sometimes wedding food sucks.
Oh, Lord.
How about weddings that have cash bars instead of an open bar? How do you like that? You ever been to one of those?
Oh, I hate those.
That's really cool. That means and I don't even drink. Hell, and they couldn't afford that wedding. They should have been having.
Wait. So you're saying that you should have to have an open bar?
Yes.
What type of.
Okay. Wait. Listen, so
I got a person at wedding plan over here right now.
Okay, that's so you have somebody like Stills, who not only is going to take the food, he's going to drink up all the alcohol.
So I don't drink a lot, but it still should be open bar.
Oh, Lord.
I don't drink a lot, but it still should be open bar.
Oh, Lord. And then crazy says, crazy says, food.
Let me pay for your wedding.
Crazy. Okay, wait. Okay, so I'm looking at Blunt saying tacky. Yes, open bar. Always. Crazy just, she just laughing up in here. So crazy, when you say fuck that, are you saying F that to not having an open bar or having an open bar? What are you, I'm kind of lost there.
I'm pretty sure Crazy wants an open bar.
Okay, Crazy
wants more an open than bar. Sure. Okay. That's what I'm saying. I'm more bar. Than sure.
Open bar always.
Crazy wants an open bar.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I know Crazy well enough that I think she wants an open bar.
Indeed, I am with you. I'm not paying for people to get drunk at an open bar where you know, people are still on a budget. Next thing I know, I owe the venue still, you know, $11,000 because y'all came up in there drinking.
You pay all that beforehand. You pay that all that beforehand.
Oh, Lord have mercy. And then Blunt says, I've never been to a Jersey wedding that wasn't open bar the entire night.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all. I'm going to have to think a couple of times before I invite some of y'all over to my house. Blunt, yeah.
I went to a dry wedding. So no.
Why do you say it like that? Dry wedding.
Because it was. It's a dry wedding. It's no liquor.
No, I understand, but you make it sound like it's like, so boring.
It wasn't that it was boring, but whew, I'm pretty sure that people were still sitting down because they didn't have enough booze in them to dance.
Oh Lord, Lord,
it does loosen things up. Like I can tell as a DJ. I can tell you, like, the beginning of the night towards the end of the night is totally different. And that's wherever, whether it's a wedding, a bar, like everybody act bougie. Oh, my goodness. Especially, like, at bougie weddings. Oh, it's the worst. But after about, you know what I'm saying, that father-daughter, whatever that dance it is, and everybody get that out the way, and you get 30 minutes into them drinks, woo, here they come.
Got Miss Lawyer, Miss Doctor, Miss Whoever, Boozy. She, oh my goodness, why is she out there twerking?
Oh Lord, 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 y'all.
Silent,
y'all,
I got y'all, one y'all. For you. I got one for
okay.
you.
Okay.
DJ or band?
DJ.
Or both. I know somebody.
Well, the only way I would have a band, honestly, is if they were a good band. They have a good band, because I have heard bands that were like, okay, you know what, they have to be a good band. Otherwise, I would do a DJ.
Yeah.
So I've been to, well, I had, my wedding was a DJ wedding, but I've been to a band wedding, and I've been to a wedding that had both. So what they did was the father daughter dance type thing, everything was all banned in the beginning, and it, you know, and then the mute DJ kicked in, then when it was time to eat, the band kicked in again, and then after that, when the party started, the DJ kicked in again.
Okay. And again, I have nothing against bands as long as they are a good band. Same thing for the DJ. I mean, you don't want a DJ that doesn't know what they're doing, whatever, but band, they just have to be good. So
you don't want the wedding singer.
No, I don't want the wedding singer. All right, guys, I am wrapping it up. It is my 1 hour. I'm not going to do the round the room because I'm past my 1 hour. I will do the round the room, but make it brief. So last minute comments, Crucible.
You can learn a lot from people by the way they throw an event, and a lot from people by the way they attend an event. It's a very insightful way of looking at how people tick. So,
okay. Stilts, brief, last comment?
No comment.
Okay. Chill, brief, last comment? Okay. All right. So, guys, thank you for popping on with me again today in the middle of the day. Much appreciated. And I am going to clear the panel, and I'm going to take y'all out with, who am I taking y'all out with? A little bit of Nora Jones. Nora Jones. So, hold on. Let me clear this. All right. So, here we go, guys.
Don't know why I didn't come. I left you by the house of fun. I don't know why I didn't come. I don't know why I didn't come. When I saw the break of day, I wish that I fly away instead of kneeling in the sand, catching teardrops in my hand. My heart is drenched in wine, but you. I would die in ecstasy, but I'll be a bag of bones driving down the road alone.
That's it, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today. Much appreciated. Enjoy your rest of your day or evening wherever you are in the world, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Bye.